Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
33 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representatives Adams and Winty are excused from the call of the House today. Until plain time, Representatives Tisher, Martin, M.W. Miller, Euling, Copenhagen, Abood, and Ward are excused from the call of the House. However, a note on the floor, the presence of Representatives Martin, Miller, Euling, Copenhagen, Abood, and Ward.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Reverend Milton Hunt, Resurrection Lutheran Church.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we pause at the beginning of this new week and ask your divine blessings upon our human labors. We also give thanks for the daily increasing of light as the sun makes its annual pilgrimage north to the equator and then beyond to brighten the Arctic Circle northward peoples with a long summer day. Make us mindful of the importance of light, not only for our work, but also for our spirits. Give the light of wisdom to these assembled representatives of the people of this great land. We pray in the name of the Teacher of Galilee, Jesus, who came as the light for all the peoples of the world. Continue to brighten us with that gospel light. Amen.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I fail to note that Representative Winty is on the House floor. And, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent Representative Bettisworth be excused until plain time.
Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread in the journal.
Without objection, Representative Bettisworth will be excused until plain time, and without objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 68th, 69th, and 70th legislative days and House Supplement number 109?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 68th, 69th, and 70th days and House Supplement number 109.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 68th, 69th, and 70th legislative days and Journal Supplement number 109 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
First of all, I would like to introduce to the body today a fine young gentleman who used to be one of my constituents, who is now a constituent of Representatives Ward and Martin, and who, if reapportionment holds, will once again be my constituent. Gives me a great pleasure to introduce Oscar Gadaris.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are several visitors in the gallery today from Anchorage, Kenai, and Wasilla. They are part of the Atlantic Richfield Civic Action Program. The ARCO Civic Action Program is a nonpartisan grassroots effort to involve more citizens in the political process. Many of these CAP members have been active in political campaigns in Alaska. Others will be working on a campaign for the first time this year. All of them today have been given a day of vacation time to fly to Juneau and meet with their legislators. Later today, they will be having lunch with their legislators, touring the governor's mansion, and attending committee hearings. Each representative who has a constituent here today may wish to introduce them at this time.
Representative Tisher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank the Majority Leader for that introduction to two of my constituents, Judy Bogler and Glenn Maugh.
Representative Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a constituent of yours and mine, who's also with CAP, and that's Lisa Abel.
Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's also my pleasure to introduce two of my constituents who have traveled down as part of the ARCO contingency, and that's Jim Bush and Clifford Crabtree.
Representative Gaul.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And also today with us, we have students and teachers with the Alaska Close-Up Program. From Angoon, we have teacher Mike O'Connor and student Jeanette Willis.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This morning, I've got a special privilege. Our chairman of the House Finance, as you know, is out of town and gave me the privilege to introduce his mom in Gallery B, Sarah Seeberger.
Representative Pestinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to go back to ARCO because ARCO does great things for our state, and we recognize that. I would like to introduce Laverl Mabius from my district.
Representative Clarkson.
I haven't had a chance to meet Diane Miller, also here with the ARCO program, but she is in the gallery.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce a constituent of Representative Barnes and I, Mrs. Beverly Beaumont.
Representative Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Flipping back to the next other side of the coin, I'd like to introduce the body two very charming, young, talented people from the city of Whittier, John Boley, Debbie Kroll, and their teacher, Fred Brown, with a close-up program.
Representative Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, with ARCO, we have two people from downtown Anchorage, District 12, Evelyn Alden and Barbara Hall.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a constituent of mine and a friend, Karen McPherson, in the back of the gallery, A.
Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a lady here from Wasilla who is with the ARCO people. Her name is Linda Allen, and she's in Gallery B.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I'd like to introduce a principal and some close-up students from my area. Mr. Ed Packer, the principal of Brevig Mission. Irene Kokarik from Teller. Albert Sakias from Elam, Fred Patu from Brevig Mission, and Lloyd Kayutelik from Shishmaref. Let's welcome them all.
Representative Herman.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B, I'd like to introduce close-up participants from NAFNIC, John Davis, the teacher, and Kelly Litow and Lynette Mitchell, the students.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce to the assembled body two special guests we have from District 13 who are constituents of Representative Ward, myself, Diana Brown and Eleanor Edwards.
Representative Martin.
I would like to correct one statement, is that the employees of ARCO came down and volunteered their own vacation time. So they're doing it on their own, not like government employees that come on government payroll. Thank you.
Representative Wente.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Visiting us with a close-up program from Petersburg, Little Norway, we have the students Melissa Moss, Mike Cottrell, Jim Martinson, and their instructor, Bob Bennett.
Representative Fuller.
One more time, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. I can't spot this gentleman. He's either in Gallery A or Gallery B, but he's our RSVP student, Merrill Apassionot from Gamble, and he will be assisting us in the chambers for this week as a page. I'd like you all welcome.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With the close-up students, I have three people, instructor Carl Lamb and students William Beach and Debbie Hansen.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With all our constituents here, it seems like we ought to spread the prayer and the bell on the record that they'll stay that way. At any rate, I'd like to introduce from my district Kitty Sue Bell. I don't know where she is right now.
Representative Representative McBride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I have an RSVP student that will be working with me for the next couple of weeks. He is Rodney Tallman from Thorn Bay, Alaska, which is on Prince of Wales.
I believe Representative Fuller did introduce some visitors from Shishmaref. I believe everyone is aware, or at least I would assume they're aware, that they did have a tragedy in Shishmaref recently. The Shishmaref Lutheran Church recently burned, and on behalf of the legislature, the House of Representatives, we'd like to extend our heartfelt sorrow for the loss of that historical structure. It's been around since the turn of the century or near the turn of the century, and was one of the first churches built in that part of Alaska as a part of the Lutheran missionary effort. Representative Lindauer.
Mr. Speaker, I never realized that ARCO had so many people to introduce. Several from District 10 who are here, Margaret Herring and Wisteria Holmes. Thank you.
Further guests for introduction? Representative Furnish?
Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure if this young lady was introduced, but she's a very, very special friend of mine, Mrs. Bibiana Bailey from ARCO's group.
Further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate approved the citation honoring Dean Osmore, Iditarod winner, by Representatives Fritz Malone and Cato and Senators Gilman, Paul Fisher, Fahrenkamp, and Halford. The President granted the Senate Conference Committee on House Bill 7, Motor Vehicles, the limited powers of free conference on the specific points requested. The Senate has passed House Bill number 537, authorizing municipalities to exempt motor vehicles from taxation with the following amendment. Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 537, CNRA, with the same title, and it is returned for consideration. The Senate has passed the following, and it is transmitted for consideration. Senate Bill 343, title amended, by Josephson, an act relating to premarital blood tests and representations on marriage license applications or forms and providing for an effective date.
Senate Bill 343, with the title amended, is referred to the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, under introduction of guests, please.
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. During our introduction of the CAP members from ARCO, one was missed. She's a former constituent of mine, and I'd be very pleased to introduce her at this time, Gloria Morrison.
Other communications?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
Dear Mr. Speaker, the House Standing Committee on HES has reviewed the qualifications of the following named individuals who have been nominated by the governor to serve on the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska: Mr. William Hensley, Jr. of Anchorage, and Ms. Beatrice Lynn Shaver of Anchorage. The members signing below respectfully recommend that these individuals be confirmed: Tischer, Chairman, Euling, Davis, Pestinger, Martin, and Kopanen. The Committee on Resources has had Senate Bill 139, repealing the licensing of big game transporters, under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Schultz, co-chairman, concurred in by Schultz, Larson, Liska, Cowdery, and Euling. Senate Bill 139 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had House Bill 486, authorizing fees for the use of state park facilities, under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 486, Labor and Commerce, with a new title, and reports it back without recommendation and a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Cowdery, chairman. Signing no recommendation, Wente, Kopanen, and Cowdery. Signing do pass, Ringstead and Euling. House Bill 486 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Committee on HES has had House Bill 566, relating to training of teachers and principals on the subject of sexual abuse of minors, under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 566 HES with a new title. Recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Ms. Tischer, chairman, concurred in by Tischer, Martin, Pestinger, Euling, Davis, and Kopanen. House Bill 566 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess is at House Bill 681, relating to default on and collection of student loans under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 681 Hess with the same title, and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. Report was signed by Ms. Tischer, Chairman, signing do pass, Gall, Pestinger, Tischer, and Euling. Having no recommendation, Kopanen and Davis. House Bill 681 has a further referral to the Loans Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Report. Representative Gall.
We have a very brief at ease.
Will the House please stand at ease?
Citation in memoriam, Ernest E. Clements, by Representatives Kopanen and Davis. House Concurrent Resolution Number 56 by the Finance Committee, relating to appropriations for program receipts.
House Concurrent Resolution 56 is referred to the Finance Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we revert to introduction, I guess?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, we have some students that were overlooked initially from Fairbanks. I'd like to introduce to the body Carmen Crawford, Jamie Payton, Ron Harper, and Sharon Barton. Thanks a lot for coming down. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I can hardly see him, is a constituent of mine who's also in the RSVP program. No, he's with the close-up program. Jim George from Akachuk and my secretary, Janice Hotch.
Introduction, first reading, and reference to bills.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
Second sponsor substitute for House Bill 487 by Furness, Barnes, Euling, Liska, Zemanski, Pestinger, and Larson. An act making appropriations for a statewide crime lab facility in Anchorage and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had the bill under consideration and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. Report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, signing Dupass, Abood, Larson, Schultz, Ward, and Locker. M.M. Miller has no recommendation. The Committee on Judiciary has had the bill under consideration and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, signing Dupass, Barnes, Liska, and Bussell. Having no recommendation, Clarkson and Malone. And Malone signed appropriate capital funds. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for second sponsor substitute for House Bill 487 Finance with the same title. Recommends it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Bedesworth, Furness, Lindauer, Grusendorf, Hurlburt, Ward, and Fritz. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the Finance Committee substitute for second sponsor substitute for House Bill 487 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the second sponsor substitute for House Bill 487. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for second sponsor substitute for House Bill 487 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? There is objection. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I only object for purpose of an inquiry. I'm a little puzzled by the appropriation of $40,000 for the operating expenses, in other words, for the operating budget, when right now the House Finance Committee is considering the operating budget for that very fiscal year. The member who is sponsoring this legislation is on finance. I wonder why we're putting in a special $40,000 appropriation in this bill instead of putting it in the budget along with all the other budget items that go into not only public safety but all the other expenses of the state. I raise that question for two reasons, Mr. Speaker. And number one, it just seems like it's not a procedurally a good idea for all of us to drop our projects, however commendable they are, in as separate bills. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to do it that way. More important, Mr. Speaker, if the members really want this bill to be appropriated, it seems to me that it ought to go in the budget bill so that it would be guaranteed attention in the other body. If this bill goes over separately, there's a very good chance that, you know, like most of the bills that
are handled in the course of a legislative session, it might not get attention. Whereas if it went into the budget, it would be guaranteed attention in the other body. And inasmuch as this bill had to go through finance anyway, I'm just curious why that figure of $40,000, the operating portion, wasn't plugged into the operating budget.
Representative Furnish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In response to the representative from Juneau's question concerning the fiscal note, the fiscal impact of this bill is approximately $263,000. However, I note that it's going to take approximately 8 months for construction. The facility is projected to come online sometime in May of 1985. What we've done is put in sufficient monies in order to give the department an ability to secure the PCN number and go out for recruitment of the specialized personnel to staff the facility. It is the intention that the full operating cost of this unit will be put in the next budget. In response to why it's being handled as a special piece of legislation, this has been considered, as you well know, this is the second time that it's been through the floor. We had originally considered putting it in the capital budget, but felt it was more appropriate to perhaps put it in a special piece of legislation. I make note also that a similar bill has been introduced in the Senate. This bill was sponsored by Senator Fakes, Senator Katula, and Senator Josephson. The bill is, again, it's the same thing. We have both House and Senate sponsors on this, and it is my understanding that they're ready to pass this once the both bills come together in the Senate.
Representative Duncan.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to also ask a question. In fact, the gentleman from Anchorage brought up the idea of the capital budget. I guess my question is, actually, I'm not sure this should be under this advancement motion, but my question would be, why are we considering a separate piece of legislation for a capital budget when we were just told on the floor of the House by the majority several days ago that we'd passed a capital budget? $960 million has gone to the governor's desk. This appears to me to be a good example of the fragmented approach to capital budgeting this year that we've been talking about for so very long. This item was not mentioned as a priority when the capital budget went through. And, of course, now we're fragmenting the process. So I guess my question to the member from downtown Anchorage, or from Anchorage, excuse me, would be what else is out there in the weeds as capital appropriations?
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, it's not unusual to see a capital budget bill for a particular item cross this floor, and neither is this bill unusual. When the governor sent down his original budget, he did not request funds for the statewide crime lab, but did say that he felt, as I recall, that it should be addressed as a separate item. And we are addressing it as a separate item because it is a very unique facility and one that should be addressed in this manner, I believe. As far as the operations budget, I think that the prime sponsor of this bill has adequately stated why it is necessary to put a portion of the operating expense in this particular bill. Mr. Speaker, a question that was asked by another member of the Finance Committee, how many more bills do we have like this? Mr. Speaker, I believe that he serves on finance and should be able to identify any such bills that are sitting up there waiting it needs to be passed.
Representative Miller.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the majority leader just said that the prime sponsor adequately answered the question of why a special bill for an operating budget item. As a matter of fact, he did not answer the question. Mr. Speaker, the budget bill, the bill that contains all the operating budget items for the state of Alaska, is sitting up in House Finance right now. It'll be coming down to us on the whatever-th day that, the plans you've so carefully laid come to fruition, and that's a budget item. This $40,000 should be in the, this is a budgetary item, it ought to be in the budget bill. It should not be a separate bill. As a matter of fact, Mr. Speaker, this bill violates one of the cardinal rules of the process that was laid down by the majority coalition of not mixing capital and operating in the same legislation. The marching orders we were given in the minority was that for consideration in the capital budgets, you were not supposed to have operating items in there.
And as far as I know, the majority themselves did not put operating items in the capital budget. And so it doesn't make, you know, it doesn't make for good legislation for us to be having a bill with $5 million worth of capital. And I agree with my colleague from Juneau, you know, when will it stop? The answer apparently from the majority leader is, who knows? But over and above that question, why are we putting in a $40,000 operating item when the operating budget is still sitting on the finance chairman's desk? The this item has not been, this section has not even been closed out yet, to the best of my knowledge. Even if it had been, it certainly, all it takes is one motion to put it back in. And we shouldn't be fragmenting. First we fragmented the capital process, and now we're starting to fragment even the appropriation for operating items. And good grief, there, if we start doing that, given the fact that there are literally thousands of categories, we'll be here on the 120th day times three. Mr. Speaker, this, it just doesn't, we haven't had a good answer as to why a separate $40,000 operating appropriation when the operating budget is still in the possession of the Finance Committee. That's the question I would like for somebody to answer.
Representative Martin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The beauty about this whole bill is that it brings it before God and everybody, right? You see it. It's there. There's the operation money with the capital money. If this full body wants to approve this $40,000 that is necessary to begin the operation of the crime lab, at least we know what we're doing. On the other hand, it seemed like that the loyal opposition 2 weeks ago just darn if you do and darn if you don't. If you do it this way, we're going to condemn you. If you don't do it this way, we're going to condemn you also. So here you have it right before you. You know what the whole package is going to cost. Now, once this body approves this, then the finance chairman will know that that's $40,000 more that perhaps should go into the total budget, and especially if we get open field with the Senate side. So the whole package right here is put before you. On the other hand, you say you don't know what's going on. Well, I wonder if you knew what the governor did in operation and in capital improvement in his overnight additions to House Bill 691. I doubt, Mr. Speaker, if any of the members of the minority know in detail what their own friend Governor Schiff did. You talk about a mixed ball of wax. My Lord, he really had a gulp to accept that thing. But here it is in front of you. You know what the two costs is. If you approve it, then that can be added to the capital in the Senate, or if there's another capital bill, the operation, if you approve it, you know where that goes to, and we'll be glad to add it to the Finance Committee's total budget. Thank you.
Representative Pastinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In all of our formulation of the issues, I'd like to now speak for passing this bill as is. The FBI crime lab does do a very excellent job, but Washington, D.C. is a long ways away. We don't...
State your point, Representative Clarkson.
I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker, I try not to interrupt, but I think the motion on the floor is not the appropriate time to have that debate, and I was restraining from participating in the debate for the same reason.
The,
I apologize for interrupting. Yeah. I think the motion on the floor...
The debate is straying considerably from the motion that we advanced from second to third reading. Perhaps with a summation by Representative Barnes, we might vote on the question, and then we can get into the debate. Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I concur with your remarks, and I think the whole debate has strayed from whether we should advance the second to third reading. I think rightfully, if the majority leader, or excuse me, the minority leader, wish to challenge the appropriation that's in this bill, he should have done it before I placed the motion to advance, because there were no amendments pending. And the debate on the issue, I do believe, should be in after we've adopted the advancement motion.
Representative Miller.
Well, Mr. Speaker, of course, the debate that this member has been putting forward has been entirely appropriate, because it has been information gathering for purposes of a possible deletion amendment of the $40,000. Mr. Speaker, I have yet to hear a good reason
why this $40,000 operating budget item is not going to appear in the operating budget. We still haven't gotten a decent reason why we should do that. On the other hand, Mr. Speaker, the partisan nature of the debate assures me that there are probably at least 21 votes to sustain the motion, so I'll remove my objection at this time to the advancement.
Is there further objection to the motion to advance from second to third reading and place on final passage?
Question.
Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for second sponsor substitute for House Bill number 487, financed by the Finance Committee. An act making appropriations for a statewide crime lab facility in Anchorage and providing for an effective date.
Representative Pestinger, you wish the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The importance of the appropriation is the reason that it should be before us in this manner. The importance of the appropriation in giving us an opportunity to work with the Senate and the Governor to have all of our branches come together. I think the importance of the issue is why it is before us, and we should never forget the importance of the issue. We recognize that Anchorage and our state are growing very, very fast, but our state lacks the capacity to adequately protect its citizens. A crime lab in the state offers us the best possible evidence that will present the truth. And when we adjudicate someone's rights or we protect citizens, what we want is the truth. And this bill is so important, it should be before us now because it gives us that opportunity. When we send things to Washington, D.C., it may take 6 months. Then the defense brings a motion to dismiss because under Criminal Rule 45, the state was late. Or under the Sixth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, the state was late. It's real easy to get cases dismissed when we want to get to the truth. It just makes good sense to have a crime lab in Alaska, to have a crime lab here in our state where we can protect chain of custody, too. You mail evidence all over the country. Sometimes the chain of custody gets confused, and you don't know if you've got the evidence you sent out originally. That can happen. A lot of dismissals. A lot of people out on the streets shouldn't be there. So the importance of the issue is why we should vote for it. It just makes good sense, protects people.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I'm in favor of this $5 million appropriation in it, and we should make clear about that. I toured the existing crime facility, and I agree that there's a need for such a facility. The concern I have is some of the concern that was expressed under the earlier motion with regard to the procedure being used here. Let me state where I think we are. I think in the capital budget and with regard to capital appropriations, they ought to receive the type of attention that this capital appropriation is now receiving. So I'm not really complaining about how this one is presented to the body. This is how it ought to be done. We ought to be able to look at the question of spending $5 million for this facility on its own, and that's good. But what the point is, I think, that this is the exception and not the rule. The normal procedure in this body is to appropriate as much as $960 million worth of projects without the kind of review that we're now having on this project. No member of this body...
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Pesinger.
I suppose I could raise the same kind of point of order, but I'll defer to the debate.
This is on third reading, aren't we on third reading?
Yes. He didn't raise a point, Representative Clarkson. Continue.
Then he shouldn't have interrupted.
Do you still have your train of thought?
Well, he accomplished his purpose by breaking my train of thought. $960 million, Mr. Speaker, is being spent in a way that does not provide the kind of review that this legislation is. And that, Mr. Speaker, is the issue of budget reform. We spoke a week or so ago on this floor about the issue of budget reform. The prior speaker is the one that said we
had... Mr. Speaker, I do have a point of order. We are discussing a bill before us, not previous bills that have passed. The gentleman is speaking of legislative reform as it relates to this bill. This bill is to build a statewide crime facility. If he wants to talk about reform, I suggest he do it under special orders.
Mr. Speaker, I haven't heard a citation to any rule when that point of order was raised. This is on the question of this legislation and how it fits into the capital budget.
I believe your direction of your debate, as I understand it, deals with the appropriateness of including $40,100 in here for operating. Is that not correct?
I'm getting to that point.
Yeah.
I was speaking with regard to the capital budget and how this fits into the capital budget. It is clearly on the merits of this legislation.
Okay. I question, though, whether reform is appropriate. I think you've got that in there, so why don't you continue, please?
Mr. Speaker, the prior speaker has before on this floor said that the goal with regard to the capital budget is that items be in that budget so that people can read them and understand them, and that that goal had been accomplished when a budget package was passed. But the point I wanted to make, Mr. Speaker, is this bill, although it's being handled correctly in my mind, is a perfect example of how there has been no budget reform, because you don't have the entire package before you. We did not have the entire package before us when we had a $960 million capital budget approved by this body, and the existence of this bill is the proof of that. Mr. Speaker, we do not have budget reform. This bill is the exception and not the rule, and therefore budget reform has not come to this body.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been somewhat intrigued by the debate so far, and I guess I keep asking myself the question, where is the beef? But Mr. Speaker, we have been through this bill several times before. This body may recall that it originally started out at some $8 million. We've trimmed it back based upon additional reviews. Mr. Speaker, as I said a minute ago, one of the reasons for having the $40,000 was to give the Department of Public Safety an ability of going out and start recruiting personnel. If you want to kill this piece of legislation, if you don't support the establishment of a statewide crime lab, and I think it's been adequate reasoning as to why we need such a facility in this state, we can no longer depend upon the FBI to process evidence in a timely fashion. If there is a beef over $40,000, I question that. This project is one that has been before this legislature. This is the second time it's been here. We went through it last session. I don't recall these questions coming up. Again, Mr. Speaker, if I may reiterate, OMB and the Department of Personnel has advised that if you want to recruit these people, and we find that we can find very few of the personnel, the technical people, to man this particular lab, if you want to do that and have these persons ready and available to work, that you need to put in at least 1 month's salary. The full operation cost is approximately $263,000. 1 month's salary is $40,000. What this does is trigger the PCN number. I understand that's a personnel number. With that information in hand, they can redefine the job description. That information is already provided in our packets. They can go and do the nationwide recruitment. And that is the sole purpose of having it there. Mr. Speaker, we've been criticized in the past for not disclosing the four costs, principally the O&M costs of various projects. It's here for everyone to see. There are no secrets about it. I've laid it out. If you want additional information, I have additional information here on my desk. But I'd say to the body that if you want to kill this legislation, then you take out the $40,000, and what we will have is a facility sitting there ready to open, and we won't have the personnel to do it. And then these same persons, I would surmise, that are criticizing a mere $40,000 would be criticizing the fact that you have a facility ready to go and nobody to work in it. I think it's a proper form to handle this item, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Grusendorf?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm somewhat miffed by the arguments by the representative from downtown Anchorage, and then at the same time by the arguments from the representative from Juneau.
I intend to concur with the budget analysis by the representative from Anchorage, but I think the question here is, this is a type of appropriation bill that takes its chances. It takes its chances here, it takes its chances over in the other body, and before the governor. And to answer the representative from Juneau, what would be the wisdom of placing this money into the operational budget with no guarantees that this appropriation for the CIP will be passed? So that's it's very appropriate that they should be tied together into one package so that everyone here can see it and we know exactly what direction we're going. It takes its chances, ladies and gentlemen.
Representative Duncan.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In response to the member from Anchorage and his question, what is the beef? Mr. Speaker, this appropriation for $5 million, I believe, is the beef. This is the meat of the whole thing. This is a top priority of the Anchorage delegation and statewide and everything else. But this beef is being swallowed up by that $960 million bun that's on the governor's desk. Mr. Speaker, you can't find the beef because you didn't set the priorities correctly in the whole process. If this was such a high priority, and it is, I don't think anybody questions that, why wasn't that sent to the governor's desk a week ago so we could be sure that it took place, so we could be sure that a capital appropriation was there? It didn't happen then because no one knew what the total picture was. It's a fragmented process, and somebody, when they were putting together the capital budget in the majority, forgot that this was one of the priority issues that should be addressed in that capital budget. Majority Leader asked me, she said, I'm on finance. You know how many bills are out there. Well, I do know. And I can provide that list for you, Mr. Speaker, and I will. And what it shows me right now is if the $960 million of top priority projects that are on the governor's desk stays there, and if we start doing this with a whole bunch of other projects, which we all know are there, we're going to be short anywhere from $100 million to $250 million this year. We're going to overexpend. If the governor accepts all that $960 that's on his desk, a lot of these top priority projects, such as the Anchorage Crime Lab, such as the Clutha Water Project, such as a whole bunch of others, just may not make it. That's where the process went wrong, Mr. Speaker. That's where the process went wrong. So in response to the representative from Sitka, this should have been in that first budget. Then we could be sure it was taken care of. Then we could put the operating money in the operating budget where it should have been. The process is broken down. It's a fragmented process. It appears to me that no one knows what the total needs of the state are right now, and we're sending everything we can get our hands on to the governor's desk without concern whether the real priorities are finally addressed in the in this legislative session.
Representative Furness, do you wish the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps let me make one correction. The junior legislator from Juneau referred to this as the Anchorage Crime Lab. I share with this body that it is not the Anchorage Crime Lab. It is a statewide crime lab. Let me share with this body also that police chiefs throughout the state of Alaska are on record supporting this particular facility. You may also note there was a reference to the governor and his involvement. Mr. Speaker, in the governor's budget last year, he had $8.1 million in his budget to support this facility. I find it somewhat disturbing that in his budget this year, he totally forgot it. But as you well know, the Anchorage delegation did take the step to resurface this piece of legislation and to make sure that this facility is online. Mr. Speaker, as I said a minute ago, this is an important piece of legislation, not for Anchorage. The fact that it's going to be located in Anchorage is by coincidence. The fact that the state of Alaska, the law enforcement community, to include all of the chief of police throughout the state of Alaska, has supported this, says that this body should also go on record with your vote today and support the passage of this legislation.
Representative Hurlburt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It seems to me that the question shouldn't be, what's the beef? It should be where's the juice? The only other appropriation that I can recall that recently passed this house anyway of this nature is the Port of Nome, and he had about twice as much juice on that one as this one. So maybe we ought to switch this over to let a new sponsor might get a little bit more money.
Representative Wente, did you wish the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have some concern to the extent that this, I am convinced, the testimony given in judiciary, that this is a certainly a needed facility for the state, that we do, in fact, have cases brought before are under investigation, that in Alaska, where you have a lot of transient population and people leave the state before the evidence is developed, and the delays are involved in sending back stuff back to Washington. So I think the record is very clear on the need for it. But the representative from Anchorage and the sponsor raise the question to the extent that the governor requested the money last year, and it would appear the legislature didn't recognize that need last year, didn't send the budget to him, and maybe he took that as a legislative response. I'm not sure. I would note in the testimony that did thoroughly document the need for the facility and Judiciary Committee this year, the majority leader very clearly and very specifically stated that the funding for this facility was addressed in the capital project bills, and so I guess I'm a little surprised that now we have it back that it dropped out. I guess I'd like to know the reasoning, since we know who participates in that process and why that was dropped out when it was very specifically stated in the Judiciary Committee that the funding for the capital appropriation was addressed in one of the bills, unless we've already got a duplication here.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd be delighted to answer that question for the gentleman from Ketchikan, because at the time that it was addressed in the capital bill, I did state that Anchorage had used it as part of their capital allocation to make sure this facility was built. The gentleman from Ketchikan very nicely pointed out to me and objected to us considering it as part of Anchorage capital allocation, because he said it was a statewide facility and should be considered as a statewide need. So taking him at his word, I concurred, and we have went ahead and pushed this bill through and given up that portion in the Anchorage allocation.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask for a brief at ease, please.
House, please stand at ease.
There's going to be a call in the House, so you might as well anticipate that.
Oh, thanks. Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I call the House.
There is a call of the House. Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I have some students and some constituents there from the fine community of Port Lions on Kodiak Island. I'd like to introduce the students at this time, if I may. Lisa Gemelli, Suzanne Von Scheele, and Brian Beal. And their teacher and chaperone, Stan and Janet Thompson.
During the at ease, we did have an amendment placed on the clerk's desk. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Mr. Speaker, we're in third reading.
Yes.
Amendment number one by Mr. Clarkson. Page 1, line 13. Delete section 2.
Representative Clarkson. A motion
like
to return
make
to third
the
reading.
Motion. The motion yeah. would be to return to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment, that amendment to delete section 2. I still
object. There is objection. Will the clerk please reread the amendment? I should have waited.
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Clarkson. Page 1, line 13. Delete section 2.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I did not discuss this when I was on the floor before, because I got the impression from you that you didn't want me to. I'm going to do it now just under this amendment. I think it is inappropriate, Mr. Speaker, to add a month's worth of funding in this bill. We're not sure exactly when this construction will be completed, and we can, again, insert this in the operating budget, and that's the normal process for doing so. I'm concerned about the policy involved in partial year funding of the operating budget in a capital appropriation like this. As the members of the Judiciary Committee are aware, I objected to the operating appropriation of $239,000 that went out of the Judiciary Committee, and I continue to object to the idea that we appropriate operating funds. The construction schedule, as it was described to us, is pretty loose, and I think that if you assume that this legislation doesn't get signed by the governor till sometime near the end of the session, I don't believe they're going to have any need for operating funds in the following fiscal year anyway.
Representative Phillips?
Mr. Speaker, I have a question in order to decide on this amendment, and this question is really to the member from Midtown. He had stated that this facility would take 8 months to build, I assume this summer and this fall. And with the $40,000, couldn't that be placed in the current operating budget and still meet that $40,000 at the end of that 8 month period for the construction? And I just want to clarify that point.
Representative Furnish?
Mr. Speaker, according to the projection that's been provided to us by DOTPF and the Department of Public Safety, this facility should be completed in April or May 1985. Again, the purpose of having the minimum 1 month salary is to give them an ability to start recruiting staff. Without that, let's say the facility comes on in April, it's ready for occupancy, you have no staff. It makes good logical sense to have these funds there.
Representative Phillips?
One more follow-up question, Mr. Speaker. Okay, if this facility is going to be built, completed April or May of 1985, the question I have is, why can't we put this $40,000 in the operating budget for FY85, which that money would be still available to them next year in order to hire the staff? Now, maybe there's something I'm missing as far as the details.
Representative Furnish?
Perhaps I didn't answer that question. I think that is a legitimate question. One of the thinkings is that since this facility is under construction, there was an attempt to try and keep the dollars for the O&M more with this particular project, as opposed to putting it in the budget and, you know, and whatever. But that was part of the rationale of doing it that way.
Representative Duncan?
Well, Mr. Speaker, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense either. All you're keeping with the facility is 2 or 3 months operating expenses for the first year, but for succeeding years, it's going to be rolled right into the operating budget. So you're really not separating that out. You're just keeping the first couple of months here, $40,000, with the facility, but it doesn't tell the public a whole lot about what it's going to really cost to operate that facility down line. The other point, of course, is that whenever we create new positions in the operating budget, and that's been kind of standard this year in the operating budget, you never give 100% funding. You give 3/4 of the year funding because it takes 2 or 3 months after you start the process to get people hired by the time you go through the registers and everything else. So even if this building is ready in April or May, it's probably going to take the next 2 months to get people processed through the system, the paperwork. So I would dare say you're probably going to need zero for fiscal year 85, and there's no reason why this amendment shouldn't be adopted.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the testimony in the committee by the people who have the knowledge on this particular section and all sections of the bill was that this is a very specialized facility. It will need very specialized personnel, and that they need to have some lead time to go out and recruit these special people and have them on board when the facility is ready to begin operation.
Representative Miller?
The opponents of this amendment continue to miss the point. We don't say that they shouldn't have the $40,000 if that's what it takes. It just shouldn't appear in this bill. It's just sloppy legislation for us to have a capital appropriation and this $40,000 operating appropriation in the same bill. People stand up and say, we need the cram facility bill. Of course we do. When a vote comes, I think there's probably going to be 40 votes for it. I can't imagine why we call the House on a vote that's probably going to get a unanimous vote on this House. But the point is, why pass a piece of sloppy legislation? Why don't we do what we ought to do, take this $40,000 out of this appropriation, put it in the budget where all the other operating expenses for the state are supposed to be, and then turn out a clean bill? You know, it's amazing to me that finance members who work with new legislation all the time, who are very used to the fact that when a new capital appropriation item comes across the desk, or when a new authorization bill comes across the desk, once it passes, the fiscal note goes into the proper file, and it's designated for passage, for inclusion in the budget. It's just an automatic procedure. It's amazing to me that this bill, with a mixture of capital and operating, even got out of Finance Committee. I'm amazed at that, Mr. Speaker, but as long as it did, I think we ought to clean the bill up, send a clean bill over to the other body, and indeed include the $40,000 if that's what's necessary. We've got a perfectly healthy, happy, contented, normal budget bill standing up there in finance right now, waiting to be passed. Include this item right along with all the other items that need to be included.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, certainly if the minority leader thinks it's sloppy legislation and something he can't agree with, then he shouldn't by all means vote for it. However, I think that the point to consider is that this is very identifiable legislation. This $40,000 is very identifiable for a particular purpose. And as such, it should be kept all together to get this crime lab that is so badly needed in our state off dead center and moving along, and allow those persons responsible to go out and recruit the people that is needed for the facility.
Are you ready for the question? Question, the call has been satisfied. The question is, shall the Finance Committee substitute for second sponsor substitute for House Bill 487 be returned from third to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment, amendment number one? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
14 yeas, 25 nays.
The motion to return from third to second reading has failed to pass the House. Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Finance Committee substitute for second sponsor substitute for House Bill 487 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, 2 nays.
The Finance Committee substitute for second sponsor substitute for House Bill 487 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call vote on passage. Committee substitute for second sponsor substitute for House Bill 487. Finance be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Barnes.
I move and ask unanimous consent that H.J.R. 39 be held in second reading for Tuesday's calendar.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 487.
Representative Malone has given notice of reconsideration for his vote on House Bill 487. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 36 by Pettijohn, relating to the Great Land Games Month. The Committee on State Affairs has had Senate Concurrent Resolution 36 under consideration and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, concurred by Locker, Cowdery, Larson, Schultz, and Abood. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution 36 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 36 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring the Port Lions Kings by Senate Representative Jaroff and Senator Mulcahy.
Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, may we have a brief at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. To read all the citations on today's calendar, and we'll move them all as one motion. Clerk, please read the citations appearing on today's calendar.
Citation honoring the Port Lions Kings by Representative Jaroff and Senator Mulcahy. Citation honoring the Yukon Quest Board of Directors by Representatives Davis, Kopanen, and Schultz. Citation honoring Russian Mission Boys and Girls Basketball Teams by Representative Hurlburt and Senator Sackett. Citation honoring the Metlakatla Basketball Association Team by Representatives Gall, Wente, McBride. Citation honoring the Hoona Alaska Native Brotherhood Basketball Team by Representative Gall and Grusendorf. Citation honoring the Angoon Old Timers Basketball Team by Representative Gall. Citation honoring Great Lands Getaway by Senator Fakes.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for approval of the citation on today's calendar.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citations appearing on today's calendar are approved. This brings us to the end of today's calendar and unfinished business. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We're going to deal with one bill in the limbo file, House Bill 537, an act authorizing municipalities to exempt motor vehicles from taxation and providing for an effective date.
Will the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 537, CNRA, by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. An act authorizing municipalities to exempt motor vehicles from taxation and providing for an effective date.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 537, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 537, Community and Regional Affairs, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Representative Miller.
I object only for a moment, Mr. Speaker. Could we have some indication of the differences between the two?
Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The main difference is just the difference of semantics. I think in one case the Senate or the other body was referring to type, and in the original bill we just said classify and exempt. So the word type was added there. It makes no difference how it goes.
That'd be on page 2, line 5. That's where the change is.
At page 2, line 5, yes.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 537, Community and Regional Affairs? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
38 yeas, one nay.
House has concurred in Senate amendments, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 537, Community and Regional Affairs. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on passage Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 537, Community and Regional Affairs be considered the roll call vote on effective date clause.
To objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Fuller, unfinished business.
Could we please go back to announcement of guests?
Without objection, return to introduction of guests. Representative Fuller.
Yes, over in Gallery A is a good friend of mine, the director of KICY radio station, Ralph Fondell.
Representative Flood.
Thank you. Under unfinished business?
Yes.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, a front page article appeared in one of Anchorage's daily newspapers, excuse me, that referred to an article in the magazine U.S. News and World Report. I've made sure that there's a copy on every member's desk. It angered me somewhat, Mr. Speaker, and I'm sure it may have angered other people in this body. It portrays Alaskan Vietnam vets as wild men and women who can't seem to live within society. They're referred to as wild animals who go running naked through the woods living on nuts and squirrel meat. Therefore, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that it's the sense of the House that the Rules Committee introduce the following resolution and it be sent to the magazine U.S. News and World Report. I think every member has a copy of it.
Is there an objection?
I don't have a copy on my desk, Representative Flood.
It's being passed out now, I assume.
All right.
Can we have it at ease, Mr. Speaker? And
the House, please stand at ease. Representative Flood, I believe that everyone's probably found a copy of the article. Representative Flood?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Does everyone have a copy?
Everyone but the clerk, I believe. I'm sure the clerk gets a copy. Representative Flood?
I want to make it clear, Mr. Speaker, that I wasn't trying to bypass the committee process by doing it in this manner, but I thought it was important that we bring it up today.
Thank you. Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is adopted. Is there further unfinished business? Announcement of committee meetings? Representative Ewling?
The Special Committee on State Loans will have a meeting at 5 o'clock on HB 609 tonight.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a meeting tomorrow of the Anchorage Caucus, and I need to give advance warning of it since there's 27 members and the governor's only allowed the Anchorage Caucus 15 minutes. This will give 32 seconds each to speak. It will be held from 11:30 to 11:45 concerning the legislative hall and the governor's conference room. So please have your 30-second spots prepared.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Hess Committee will be meeting in room 112 of the Capitol Building today at 1:15. Might be just a little bit later, looking at the time right now, because I think a lot of us are going to the lunch with ARCO people and our district constituents. However, on the schedule today is House Bill 690, which is payment of costs of postmortem exams, and we'll have an informational hearing on the Division of Family and Youth Services and Foster Parenting. Thank you.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The State Affairs hearing meeting this afternoon will be a little late today, perhaps at 1:30. Also, there'll be a House Majority Caucus at 4 p.m. this afternoon in our normal meeting place. And please be prompt.
Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today at 4 o'clock in the House Finance Committee room, the Finance Subcommittee will be closing out the Office of the Governor.
Further announcements. Representative Ringstad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the resources we had scheduled for later this week, HB 600 dealing with royalty oil statutes, we had heard that once before. We will be trying to bring it up again tomorrow in the Tuesday meeting. Thank you.
Representative Herman.
Mr. Speaker, may we have a very brief at ease?
Will the House please stand at ease?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to announce that the House Labor and Commerce will be meeting tomorrow morning at 8:15 in the Barron's Building, and we'll be hearing House Bill 509, its aviation fuel suppliers, and House Bill 633, insurance fees and licensing, and also House Bill 141, appropriation grant to the Iditarod Trail Committee headquarters.
Representative Herman.
Mr. Speaker, under announcements, the Alaska Native Leadership Project will be hosting a reception for legislators at the Baranoff Gold Room from 5:30 to 8:30 tonight.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a House Democratic Caucus at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Further announcements. Special orders. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent to House standing adjournment until 10 a.m. Tuesday, March 20, 1984.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.